Testing 1, 2,
yep. His idea worked.
Yeah. Well, I had an uncle, he played banjo and he stayed with my dad. And he had an old banjo, and so I'd get that old banjo and I'd plumb around on it, and I finally learned to play a tune or two on it, and then I got to wanting one of my own, and so I worked for my grandfather cutting down a big field of corn stalks. Worked about 3 days and rucked the stalks up and burned them all up, and he gave me $1, and I bought my first banjo with $1. With $1. Had a groundhog head on it, a hide. Had a groundhog skin for a hide, and had 3 brackets on it, I believe, and wooden screws and wooden neck, no frets or nothing, just an old-timey banjo. I'd take that to the field with me to hoe corn. My father, he tended a big lot of corn, and we worked right on the hillside. No bottom land. We didn't have any bottom land. So steep, you couldn't hardly stand up. And he'd let us hoe corn, go to one end and back, and that was around, and then he'd let us rest. And boy, I'd work myself death getting to the far end and back to play that banjo while we were resting. Why, no, it was just my brother and my dad and my mother, and I guess I aggravated them so much with it they didn't pay any attention to it. But after I learned to play, though, they listened to it. And then my brother went to the 3 C's, and he bought me a real good banjo and sent it home to me, and that just set me off right there. I'd say about 8 or 9 year old. I'd say I started playing, learning whenever I was about 6 or 7. And then about 8 or 9, I was getting along with it pretty good. And then I fooled with a banjo till I got to working square dances with Murrin and his late brother Bobby, and I got to fooling with a fiddle, you know. Whenever we'd take a break, I'd never get off the stage, just pick his fiddle up, Bobby or Marion's one, and I learned to play a fiddle right there. Copied it off of Marion, his late brother Bobby. But I can't do no fiddling like Marion or Bobby, neither one.
Now, when you were growing up, did you play, when you were like 8, 9 years old, did you play square dances?
Oh, yeah, but it was just then they'd have corn hoeings and big log rollings, workings, you know, and then that night they'd just move the furniture out of the house and have a square dance, you know, and had plenty of moonshine to drink, and they didn't have no guitar nor fiddle or nothing. I'd sit right there and play the banjo all night till the blood had run out of my fingers from the square dance. Hook and Line was the tune that I played all the time. Boy, this dance, sometimes the chickens would be a-crowing in the morning, and sometimes it'd be plumb daylight whenever they quit dancing. And we really had a ball back then. That's in the good old days back then.
How did your dad
used to play? Well, my uncle played, and my daddy played, too, but my daddy, he had a bad accident. He got his hands blowed off of dynamite, and he couldn't play no more. But I can't remember hearing him play, my dad. But now my uncles, and then I've got a brother, a good banjo player, too. He plays old clawhammer banjo. I've heard him play a lot. And I've got 2 uncles that's dead now. They played banjo. And then on my... That was on my daddy's side, and then on my mother's side, she had a brother or two who could play a banjo, and she could even play a tune or two herself. My mother. Hi.
Did you ever play with
her? No. No, she'd pick the banjo up where he'd be laying on the bed or something, start to make a bed up. She'd play a tune or two and lay it back down. She never would play much, you know. But she could play a few tunes. And then they'd have box suppers, you know, at these schoolhouses, and I'd play the banjo for that. And whenever we'd get up a play, like a dialogue or something, you know, in school, I'd do the banjo playing for that. And I just worked myself right on up, you know, till I met Marion Sumner. That's back in 41. And then me and Marion started working, really working square dances. It's one Christmas, he was making a big gun, you know, shooting dynamite. And he'd shot 3 or 4 stick of dynamite, and he went in to shoot him one more dynamite, and he'd made his shot up, a stick of dynamite, and he had a box of caps in his hand. And he was smoking a Chesterfield cigarette, and he just went to turn around, and it just all exploded right in his hands. And if ashes didn't fall off of that cigarette and set them off, why, nobody never did know what done it. It blowed both his hands off and just stuck the pieces of his hands to the ceiling of the house, you know. And he was blind in one eye, but he raised a family. He worked, carried the mail, retired on a mail route, rode a horseback, and raised 3 of us like that. That happened about 4 o'clock on Christmas Eve in the afternoon, and they didn't take him to the hospital till the next day about 9 o'clock. They carried him out of this creek on a cot and put him on a train and sent him to Hazard, and they tell me in about 11 days he was back out of the hospital and beat him off a mail route and started carrying the mail. No, I've just been told that. That was before I was born, whenever he had this accident. But I've heard my mother tell me, and my grandma and grandfather and everything. And I didn't pay any attention to it much because I just growed up, you know, with him. I was used to him not having any hands. But he'd plow, hoe corn, or grub down a field, or anything. He'd work at anything. Now, they tell me he was a real banjo player, too, before he lost his hands. And I guess I just mostly inherited, you know. I can't read music, not a line. Couldn't read a line of music if I had to. I just play by ear all the time. I can hear a tune or anything, and I can keep it in my head for a week and then pick my banjo up and play it. I don't have any trouble with it. I just can't read music at all. Of course, a fiddle now. I worked with a fiddle for a long time. I'd say 6 or 7 years, or maybe longer than that. But I like a fiddle. A band's not complete without a fiddle, but I always wanted to go back to my banjo. And so I'm back on my banjo now, and I guess I'll stay on it. Of course, me and Marion, we do a lot of twin fiddling, and I still can fiddle whenever I take a notion to, but I don't like it all that much. But I really love my banjo.
Now, Lee, when you were young, did you aspire to be a musician, to go on the road and be a musician?
Yeah, I wanted to. Whenever I heard Marion over the midday merry-go-round, I had these old battery radios, you know, old-timers. My grandfather had one, and I heard Marion over midday merry-go-around, and they said he was from George's branch over here at Vico. Well, that liked to worry me to death to think that there was somebody around here who could play over a radio, you know, and I couldn't, you know. And so I got busy right fast, and it wasn't too long after that till I met Marion. And me and Marion, I met him back in, I guess it's 41. Whenever I met Marion. And We've been playing together off and on ever since 1941. Of course, we've not been studied together. But, you know, we'd separate. He'd go one way and I'd go another. But we'd eventually get back together. I just couldn't hardly stand to think that there was somebody from around here in Kentucky that could play over a radio, you know. And boy, I got busy right fast. I'd aggravate my mother, she'd whip me with that banjo, you know. But I'd catch her back turned and I'd have it again. Well, I was 16 year old whenever I went in the coal mines. My uncle took me in the coal mines driving ponies. That was back whenever they had these ponies, these rail mines, truck mines they call them. And I worked in them for years, and then I finally got me a job in a big mechanical mine, you know. First started at Jewel Ridge. And then quit there and went to work for Blue Diamond Coal Company. And then Southeast Coal Company. And then back to Blue Diamond, and that's where I wound up at Blue Diamond Coal Company. But I always managed to play music on the weekend, work the square dance on the weekend.
Where'd you work?
Over here at Cooley Bashir's at Scuddy, and down here at Russell Cornett's at Jeff. Boy, they really had a big nightclub there. They really had a square dance to go in there every Saturday night. They'd be coal trucks lined up from, I'd say for a couple of miles, parked beside that road down there. And then over at Cooley's, I worked that place for a long time. And then Carcassonne, I've been working over at Carcassonne, playing square dances over there for about 22 or 23 years now, off and on. Back whenever they had school over there, I'd work box suppers over there, and just whatever they had, you know. People would always call on me, you know, to play for a square dance, and I'd go.
I'm real interested when you worked at the mines. What
jobs? Well, as I said a while ago, whenever I first went in, I started driving ponies, and then I went to Jewel Ridge, and I started work driving a shuttle car in there. And then I worked on a track a while, and then back to the shuttle car. But whenever I was growing up, before I went to the mines, I worked at sawmills and worked some on the railroad. And I've done a little bit of it all. Worked in the log buds, cut timber, and I've done a little bit of it all. But I went to the mines whenever I was 16 in a truck mine, and then from there to the big mechanical mines, and that's where I ended up in the big mechanical mines.
How come the mines?
Well, whenever I started working in there, I just sort of liked it, you know, and that was the best paying job there was in Kentucky here, was the coal mines. So back before I was married, I hoped my mother and everything. Of course, my dad, he carried the mail, but he didn't get much out of carrying the mail, just a little sum, you know, a month. And I hoped my mother make it through. And I just liked the coal mines. It was hard work, brutish work, but I didn't mind it at all. I've had my hands before now to where I'd pick my banjo up and just straighten my fingers, and the blood would run out of my fingers, where they'd be stiff and cracked up, you know. It's a hard life, but I always liked it. If I was able to go back in them, I'd get a job tomorrow if I could, back in the coal mines.
What happened to your music?
Well, I'd play on the weekend, on Saturday nights, and whenever I'd come home from work, every evening I'd play my banjo or play my fiddle. I just sort of kept practice, you know. But I like to let my banjo get away from me, though, fooling with a fiddle, playing a fiddle. But I just laid the fiddle down and I picked my banjo back up, and that's what I'm going to stay with as long as I live now, is my banjo. Yeah. I'd rode with some guys, and this guy had a bit, Arnold Combs, he had a big carryall, and I think he hauled 13 men. And I'd take my banjo to work with me, play for him, you know, going to work and never get off from work every night. If I was working night shift or day shift, I'd play for him. And I went to take it in the mines with me one time, and the boss said he'd fire me if I took it in there. And I told him that I had 30 minutes for lunch, that I could do anything I wanted to with that 30 minutes. And he said, well, don't take it in. And so I didn't. I didn't take it in.
So you never got to play underground?
No, I didn't get to play underground, but I wanted to awful bad, though. I had 30 minutes of my own time for lunch, but he told me not to take it, and so I didn't.
Yeah, did you ever get laid off in the mines?
Oh, yeah. But whenever I get laid off in the mines, these big mines, I just go to work in these small mines, truck mines, you know, loading coal or driving ponies or something like that. And then whenever they call me back in the big mines, I just quit the truck mines and go back to the big mines. I never was out of job. I worked all the time. Of course, I didn't make as much money in the truck mines as I did in the big mines, but I worked. A little bit's better than none at all.
Yeah,
I taught them to play. They were raised right here on this farm here, and I built a jamming house. I call it a jam music in. And every morning before they went to school, I played them an air. Made them play. They'd cry and a snot would be a fly. I'd wear them out. Make them play whether they wanted to or not. And both of them made fine musicians. And I've had them to tell me over and over again that they got mad at me back in whenever I was whipping them, making them play, but they was really proud of it now. Of course, I've got one, my youngest boy, Philip, he still plays. He's a good musician, but my oldest boy, he quit. He's preaching now. He's a regular old Baptist preacher, and he won't fool with it. He just completely quit. He don't say anything. No, because he knows it's in her blood, I guess. No, he don't say nothing. But he won't play though. A lot of people, churches, they play in church, but the regular old Baptists, they won't. They won't play music in church. It's against the religion, you know. And he just won't fool with it. He'll sit around and listen at us play, me and Phil, and he likes to hear it, but he won't try to play none. Oh, yeah, we played, called ourselves the Sexton family. Yeah, we played a lot of places. And around school, square dances, and up in Indiana, we played some of them bars up there, TV station down here at Hazard. We cut 3 or 4 albums, I guess, with Steve Cottle, Bluegrass Uprising up here.
Did y'all ever cut any on your own?
No. No, we never did cut none on our own. I always wanted to, but somehow we just never did get around to it. Phil started on a banjo. I learned him, and he was so small that he couldn't hold a banjo up, and I got him one of these little tenor banjos. Made him a 5-string out of it. And boy, he worked it over. And he played that till he got up, big enough to he could hold a standard size banjo up, and then he played that a while. And then he got to playing the guitar, and he got to wanting him a bass fiddle. And so I bought him a bass fiddle, And he'd watch him on TV, and he'd get that bass, and you couldn't hear it thunder in the house for him trying to play with him on that TV, you know. But boy, he caught it, and man, he's as good a bass player as you ever hear it anywhere. He can really play it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we played in a band called A Mountain Tradition. And then we played with Steve Caudle and the Bluegrass Uprisings. And I guess that's about it for me and Phil. And so did Johnny. He played with Steve and the Bluegrass Uprisings for a long time. Of course, Phil, he's played in several bands. He played with Larry Sparks some. He's played with them Huff Boys. What's their band name? Gary and well, anyway, he's played with the Huff Boys. He's played with a lot of bands. Phil used to play rock and roll a lot. He just about played it all. He can play it all, rock and roll. Just old-time bluegrass or anything. He can do anything Phil can. And does a good job at it.
One of the things I'm real interested in, Lee, if you were talking about your mother playing banjo, when you were little, did you ever sing the piano?
No, she never did sing. She had one old banjo tune she played. She called it Old Diner. Was the name of the banjo tune. And then she'd do Hook and Line or a little bit of Cripple Creek or something like that, but she never did sing none. And I never was much for singing neither. I always just played the banjo one or the fiddle one. I ain't got no breath for singing much. I've got this black lung up my lungs all week and everything, and I just can't hold out to sing. Well, no, no, not full time. Just here and yonder, you know. And then I'd play a while, you know, with a band, and then they'd split up or something. And I never have played full time. Just, you know, make it for a living, you know. And I don't believe anybody could do any good at his full time job without he's in Nashville or somewhere. But I played with several bands, though. I played with the first job I ever had with a band was Estill Blair and the Jolly Mountain Boys. That's over in WNVA in Norton, Virginia. That's whenever I met Marion back in 1941 or 42, somewhere along there. It's 41 whenever I met Marion. Then Marion got me a job down at Knoxville, Tennessee. And I started to him in an A model Ford, and it broke down on me, and I never did get there. And with a guy called Fiddlin' Art Wooten. Then I worked down back in the 1950s. I worked down in Renfro Valley about 3 months down there. And then I played with Billy Hall and the Greenwood Mountain Boys and Steve Caudle and Bluegrass up. Rising, Calvin Waddles, and the Lonesome Mountain Boys, and Oldest Mountain Tradition, and just several bands, you know, just local bands. I was working over, and you mean joined back up this last time? Well, Marion, he'd left here and stayed gone for a long time, and so he come back in up here at Isom, Kentucky, and was living up there, and me and him just got talking one day, and I said, let's get together and play some music. Marion said, okay. And so we got together, and we've been going pretty strong, you know. Of course, there's no money to be made in it, you know, but we just enjoy it, you know. And we play a lot free shows, you know, for this air conditioning, for these schools and fire departments and everything like that, you know.
Do you
Yeah, we play a whole lot, working square dances and something like that, you know. And we work quite a few square dances. She's in a nursing home now. She's, you see, 25th of this month, she'll be in there a year. She had two strokes, and she just got out of my hands where I couldn't handle her. I couldn't do for her here what they could do for her down there in Hazard, and so I just put her in a nursing home. She's in awful bad shape. Oh yeah, I wouldn't go off and leave her. No, I could have worked every night every weekend. I don't know about every night through the week, but I just wouldn't go off and leave her, 'cause she couldn't be left alone, you know. And I just backed up on that a lot, you know. Well, we've been working Carcassonne over there, and that's in the head of Bull Creek, and over here on Cumberland River, and at Burley Maggard's, and we've been working up here. We worked one up here for this foreign rescue, and we went to Louisville, Kentucky, and did one. We worked some for Mike Mullins over here in Hyman, and we went to Prestonsburg and did a show over at the Holiday Inn, and played a festival or two for Larry Sparks, and just about all over, you know.
Now, if you had to say something about your banjo,
what would you say? Oh, I love that banjo. Yeah, I love that banjo. I believe if I was to join church, I'd still play my banjo. Oh, whenever I get to wanting to play it, I get in the bathroom. My wife watches stories every day on TV. I get in the bathroom sometimes and come out of there, sweat running down my jaws where I play it so hard. It rings good in the bathroom. Yeah. Well, I have some Turbo Jam sessions right by myself. Bathroom. Well, I just afraid to say, but I'm going to continue still working my square dances and things as long as I'm able. You know, I don't see no future and no Nashville work or nothing like that. Because I'm getting up years myself. I'm getting old. But Murray's a lot older than I am, and he's a lot uglier than I am. Well, I would really say this much. Me and Murray can really get it now. We play note for note. I can play note for note on him till he gets on that swing, and then I can't do that. But just old time bluegrass music, we play note for note. And Marion is a wonderful fiddler. You just can't beat him. You just can't hook him up wrong on the fiddle. He's something else on the fiddle. Yeah. Oh, I do that all the time, you know. I told Marion here the other day that he wanted to know what had been done, and I told him I just got back from Nashville. That was kidding with him, and he said, "What have you been doing up in Nashville?" I said, "Hey," I said, "Kenny Baker took a vacation. Old Bill Monroe wanted me to play the fiddle first." Marion said, "I wonder why," I said, "that he didn't call me." I said, "He told me he didn't like you fiddling." He liked my fiddling a lot better than he liked yours.
Lee, what else do you do besides play the banjo?
Well, I like to rabbit hunt, and I like to fish.